This evening, we begin a 3-hour liturgy. This liturgy will go from this evening through until Saturday evening, at which time we'll celebrate the reality of Easter. Today we began this liturgy by processing in with the sacred oils. These oils were blessed and consecrated this morning at the Chrism Mass down at the cathedral. They represent the oil of the sick, the healing oil that comes in the sacrament of anointing. They represent the catechumen oil, which is the oil, the salve, the healing salve that is given to those preparing for baptism. And then finally, there's the sacred chrism. Sacred chrism is only used in 3 sacraments. They're the sacraments of permanency. When each of us was baptized, sacred chrism was placed on the crown of our head in the form of a cross. At confirmation, that same chrism is made in the sign of a cross on our forehead. In the sacrament of holy orders to the priesthood, sacred chrism is made in the sign of the cross on the hands of the priests. When a bishop is consecrated, sacred chrism is poured over his head in its entirety. This evening, we begin this liturgy with this celebration of the Mass of the Lord's Supper. It's this time in our history that we remember Christ instituting the sacrament of holy orders. It's traditional on such a day to wish these men, our priests, a happy feast day. These men who set themselves apart in order to serve us in a very special way, because they serve us by standing in the place of Christ. So I'd like to invite all of you to wish our priests a happy feast day. It's a fundamental limitation of our humanity that only men can be priests. But if you notice, in today's gospel, the church recognizes the priesthood of everyone. Each one of us, marked with the sacred chrism, are celebrating our own eternity. And for that reason, we listen to this gospel where Jesus tells his disciples, "As I have done in washing your feet, so too must you do by washing the feet of others." That's a priesthood that each and every one of us not only can, but should minister to. Now, this Mass of the Lord's Supper is the beginning of this Triduum in which we are not remembering what happened when Jesus had the Last Supper. We believe that we are actually participating in it. This Mass of the Lord's Supper, this celebration of the Eucharist, is the same eternity that each one of us shares in the marks on our souls. And it's an interesting kind of contrast to the death that came to us through our human sinfulness. During the Easter Vigil, we're going to hear our story. We're going to hear about how it all began. But we're also going to hear about how we failed God. And in that story, if we listen carefully to it, it says that the man and the woman saw the fruit of the tree that God forbid them to eat from, and that food was pleasing to the eye. It looked good. And so they took of it and they ate it. And the results of eating that were disastrous. Because what it did is it disrupted every kind of human relationship. It disrupted the relationship between the man and the woman, where they noticed the differences in themselves and hid from themselves. They covered themselves. It disrupted the relationship with humanity and God because they hid from God. It disrupted the relationship of humanity with the earth because now all of a sudden, instead of everything being there for us, instead we have to work at it. We have to domesticate animals. We have to work the fields in order to get food. So the man and the woman were tricked by what looked so good. In order to provide for our redemption, Jesus did the exact opposite. What he did for us does not look so good. The gruesome death that he endured for our salvation is ugly and messy and painful. But here, we take wine, we take bread, and Jesus consecrates it. So he takes something that's gruesome and he makes it beautiful. Jesus is inviting us to take from that tree now. To take the food from that tree and allow it to feed our souls. That's what happens in this Eucharist. That's what happens in every Eucharist. And it's a call for each one of us to be converted, to be renewed, to be strengthened, to be forgiven. But that forgiveness comes with the cost. Because although we rely on these men to consecrate the Eucharist for us, we have to rely on Jesus Christ inside ourselves to be courageous enough to wash one another's feet. It's interesting, I spent the last week and a half preparing this homily and praying over the scriptures. Then this morning, I made the mistake of looking on Facebook. And my cousin, who is not a Catholic Christian, but a Christian, posted this video of a rabbi talking about love. The rabbi was talking about love in two different perspectives. He told a story about a man who was having dinner. And while he's eating his fish, he says, "I love fish." The partner at his table said to him, "You love fish? Is that why you stole it out of the sea and killed it and boiled it and eat it?" The rabbi was pointing out that oftentimes human love, as we provide it, is fish love. Fish love is self-gratifying. The man is not loving the fish. He's loving himself by eating the fish. True love is not something that we take for ourselves. True love is giving to another. The rabbi went on to talk about how when we choose people who are special in our lives, when we choose someone that we want to love and spend our life with, oftentimes we fall victim to fish love. Because our love for that person comes from the knowledge and the hope of getting from that person, taking from them. The rabbi said, what we need to do is take the love that we have for ourselves and give it away. Because when we give something of ourselves to another person, that other person holds on to a piece of us. And that makes it easier for us to love them. That is exactly what Christ does for us in the Eucharist. He gives of himself. We take him into ourselves. And because of that, he loves us. Not with the self-gratifying fish love, but with a true love. And that's the love that we recognize in this celebration. It's the love that we look forward in a profound way of celebrating in just a couple of days, the celebration of Easter. It's that kind of love that empowers us to be courageous enough to wash the feet of others. This evening, Father Mulligan is going to wash some feet. I'd like to invite any of the young children who wish to come up and gather around the altar so that you have the opportunity to see up close this work of washing feet. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up around here. Father's going to be here. You can stand right here. Sit down. If there's not enough room, you can sit down if you like. Have you ever had your feet washed by someone else? It's kind of an interesting experience. If you're going to get a pedicure, you kind of expect it. But if you don't expect it, just like Peter, it's easy to be taken aback. I want to suggest to you to pray about that notion of having your feet washed. Pray about the idea of what it feels like to have someone come to you and give of themselves to wash your feet. Because in many cases, you may be compelled more to want to wash the feet of others. In this celebration, most especially in this Triduum, when we enter into the real Paschal mystery, let it be our prayer that in this Eucharist, we can be converted. We can be converted to recognize the value of giving of ourselves for the sake of another. The unselfishness that Jesus has given us as a model for love.